Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Nick Bosa, pro bowler, and we'll get to compete in the Pro Bowl. Is there even a game anymore? It's just like a bunch of mini games now,
right?
Yeah,
it's just skills and competitions. And I wonder if our next guest actually watches the film and breaks down things like dodgeball and like player diving on mat to catch it. Or is he ready for the offseason by then?
Well, let's ask him. It's Greg Cosell, NFL Films, who joins us every week during football season. We're running out of these times to chat with Greg Cosell this year.
Which makes me sad.
Which is very, very sad. But let's go out to the River Islands guest line, as all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Greg, Pro Bowl film, you in or out on that?
No, I don't do the Pro Bowl. I don't even know what they do with the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's dodgeball now and a bunch of other middle school shenanigans. But I wouldn't expect you to waste your time with such frivolity, Greg.
No, I don't. The Pro Bowl's now between the championship game and the Super Bowl, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm not really into the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of fans are. Let's get to what really matters, though, which is Monday Night Football, Niners and Lions, earlier this week. Let's start on a positive. I want to ask you about Ricky Pearsall, because I know you've been a fan of his all season, and he had himself his best day as a pro, 8 catches, 141 yards, and a touchdown. What did you see specifically from Ricky Pearsall, and how can he help the Niners in the future?
Well, it's not a matter of being a fan. I liked his tape coming out of Florida, and I think that he has a chance to be a good pro. And I think, he's a little quicker and faster probably than some think, although he's not a burner. I know he ran a good 40 time, but he doesn't play as a burner. But I think he's got a lot of juice to him. I think he needs a little more work in and out of breaks, but I think that'll come with time. Don't forget, he missed a ton of time. It's almost as if he started training camp in the middle of the season. So I think you have to take that into account. So coming off of this season and having a full off season, I think you'll see him become a significant part of their passing game next year. And you can line him up in different spots in the formation. He can line up outside. He can line up in the slot. He can run vertically based on his ability to run routes, not just on pure speed. So I think he gives what this offense demands. I think he'll be relatively complete for this offense.
And what this offense craves, Greg, something we've talked about throughout the year, is a man beater. And you look at the game against the Lions, it looked to me like they played a lot of man coverage. Were you seeing him able to beat man-to-man coverage regularly?
At times. I mean, no one wins all the time, and the Lions do play a lot of man, even with all the injuries they have. Aaron Glenn, their DC, has stayed with his belief in playing man and blitzing a good amount. So, you know, ultimately, you know, I think Pearsall will get better at that. He showed that in college. He showed some nuanced, subtle route-running skills, and I think when you make the transition from college to the NFL, where the corners are, you know, uniformly better, you know, you then have to understand how you apply your skills to beating NFL corners. So I think that will come in time.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us here on Willard and Dibs. Greg, considering what you're seeing from Ricky Pearsall, and the Niners have also had, of course, a really good season from Juwan Jennings. I know Ayuk is out, but let's just assume we're fast forward into next regular season, and Ayuk is healthy and good to go again. Plus, you've got Debo Samuel currently under contract and, of course, still on the roster. I'm not asking you to make a personnel decision, but is the 49ers' offensive scheme and the way Kyle Shanahan likes to do things, is it worth having four wide receivers of that caliber on the roster, considering where else they might need to fill some holes? What do you think? Is obviously, you'd rather have more good players than not, but is it worth it for the Niners to employ four receivers of that talent level?
Well, are you suggesting they trade someone, or they're not going to cut anybody? So I don't believe, barring something, you know, that we don't know will happen in the off season, but I don't think they're going to trade anyone. So they'll keep everyone. You know, Samuel is sort of a multi-dimensional player who can line up in different spots. I think, given the fact that Ayuk's going to be coming off a major knee injury, that they're definitely going to go into the off season with all four guys. I mean, who knows when Ayuk's even ready to do anything really meaningful? So yeah, they'll keep all four guys, and how that plays out, you know, that'll be a function of what happens through the off season.
Just thinking about it schematically, and just watching them throughout the course of the year, how often do they go to 11 personnel with three wide receivers? And I'm looking at my notes, and I'm looking at a play where they drew a pass interference right before halftime, where they actually went with no running backs and one tight end and four wide receivers. Do they do that often enough to really have that many wide receivers involved in the plan?
Well, I haven't this year. You know, whether they, you know, again, every year is different. Coaches are always screwing around with things, trying to come up with different ways of doing things. You could see them, you know, look, for instance, this year, they played out of no backs and one tight end on 12 snaps. They played out of no backs and two tight ends on 13 snaps. That's for the whole season.
Wow.
Both those percentages are less than 2%. You know, when they play out of 11 personnel because of the use check factor, you know, they're one of the lower percentage 11 personnel offenses in the league. They don't even play out of 11, 50% of their snaps. But those percentages can change. You know, you never know, you know, how Kyle Shanahan this offseason decides to tweak his offense. That's what coaches do in the offseason. Because, you know, right now, through, what have we played, 16 games, right? 16 games.
Yep.
Through 16 games, they're the highest percentage 21 personnel offense in the NFL because of use check.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way that they go about it schematically and formationally. Obviously, all of this comes back to the quarterback, and I thought Brock Purdy had one of his better halves and maybe better almost three-quarters of football this year. I mean, the final numbers are still pretty good in the game, 27 for 35, 377 yards, and three touchdowns, but two big mistakes that cost the Niners in the second half with those two interceptions. What'd you see? What does the tape show you on Purdy's game? Was this draft drastically better than you've seen the rest of the year, and those two interceptions, what went into those decisions by Purdy from what you could see?
Yeah, I thought that the first interception, that was an example where I did not think Pearsall snapped out of his break as well as he should have, but Purdy just threw it too high. It was just an inaccurate throw, and he threw it right to Joseph, who was sitting in the deep middle on the coverage. He was a post safety, and he just threw it right to him. He just threw it too high. The second one is a really intriguing play, and I know that's probably been talked about a lot. You know, I think that based on what the Lions did with the coverage, it was it was probably, and I don't know what's in Purdy's head, but it was probably difficult for him to know whether that was cover three or what we call top-down inverted cover two, meaning that Joseph was actually a middle hole player in cover two. He was just playing the middle hole from the top down. Normally, when teams play cover two, the middle hole defender is a linebacker who comes from much closer to the formation and runs the seam. You know, you've all seen that. But I think this was top-down cover two. My sense is Purdy might have read it as cover three because he threw that ball as if Joseph was not going to be where he was. And in top down cover two, that's where he where Joseph should have been. So that's my sense. Only Purdy could answer that. Kyle, you know, obviously others can answer it as well, but that was my sense looking at that play, that I think he read it as cover three when it was top-down, inverted cover two.
Fantastic breakdown from Greg Cosell here on 95.7 The Game. I want to ask you about George Kittle and just how you see on film his ability to do what he does, because watching it as, well, I'm not an amateur anymore, Greg, thanks to you, I'm kind of a middle-of-the-road, lightweight expert, but when I watch the film, it seems like George Kittle does things that most receivers and really no tight end can do. What do you see on film as far as him being able to get open so frequently?
Yeah, I mean, some of that's a function of scheme. For instance, this... You talked about the first half and how well Purdy played, and I thought that the offense was really highly schemed in the first half. I thought it was a really good game-planned offense. It broke down the discipline of the Lions' defense, and Kittle was a function of that. But Kittle is a really, really good player. I mean, he can win one-on-one. He has a great feel for finding voids and zones. We all know what he can do, run after catch. I mean, he's just a guy that I'm sure nobody loves tackling. And he just plays, you know, putting aside the X's and O's, he just plays with a passion that's infectious and contagious. You just love watching him play. But, I mean, you know, it's funny. I was thinking today, talking to my guys on the matchup show here, thinking, you know, this guy's a Hall of Famer. This guy's a Hall of Fame tight end. So he's a really, really good player, and he had another 1,000-yard season. I don't know what number it was for him in terms of 1,000 yards.
His fourth. Yeah.
And obviously we know through the years, because of the way the Niners play with the run game, that he's as good a run blocker at the tight end position as there is in the league for a tight end that is a complete tight end. You know, there's other guys that are just run blockers. They're almost glorified tackles. But he's a complete multidimensional tight end, and he's a really, really good run blocker, and they use him in that way. And he's obviously a receiver that has three-level dimension traits. I mean, he's short, intermediate, and vertical. So he's a terrific player.
Greg Cosell with us here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
5-7 The Game. I want to switch over to the defense for a second, Greg. Obviously, it is not a good day for the Niners defensively. The Lions, though, are doing this to almost everybody they play. They put up 40 points. I want to focus on a single Niners player because he's one of the guys that is a free agent this offseason, and a decision has to be made by the 49ers on Talanoa Hufanga, who missed the majority of this season. It feels like, though, a little bit too often to my eye, and maybe I'm missing things that you can tell us about that you see on the tape, it seems like he's just relatively often taking bad angles to try to track down ball carriers, and it was on display a couple of times on Monday against the Lions. What is the tape showing you on Talanoa Hufanga, and how do you evaluate him as a safety?
Well, it's funny, because when he came out of USC, I thought that he was essentially a box safety. Now, the Niners have not employed him solely in that way, because I remember when they had Gibson last year, Gibson would always be the tight end matchup when they went cover one, and he would be the deep post player. I don't think he's at his best, you know, based on film. That's all I can judge it on. Obviously, I don't know him. I always thought he was at his best closer to the line of scrimmage. I don't think he's at his best when he's playing the back end and coming downhill and having to take angles. I think he's much better when he can play closer to the line of scrimmage. So the question is, going forward, how do they see him in the context of the other safeties that they have? I think Malik Mustafa, I think, has played well in his opportunities. He's become a starter. Obviously, they think both Hufanga and Mustafa are better than Jair Brown because he's been benched. So they need to decide what they think of Jair Brown, because it's easy, you know, to get rid of, for people to say, well, this guy's not very good, let's move on, but you need someone to play. So they have to decide ultimately how they, if they keep him, you know, again, we don't know that, but if they keep him, what his role is. As I said, I think he's best closer to the line of scrimmage.
I'm looking at the defense, Greg, and it's something I've been harping on all year with you and with others, and it's the fact that they seem to rush four repeatedly. I know they're one of the least frequently blitzing teams in football, but even when they blitz, it feels like it's only blitzing one additional defender. When you look at the pass rush and the blitz package, what do you see on the film from the Niners as it relates to additional pressure?
Well, that's the way they play. They're one of the lowest percentage blitz defenses in the league, meaning five or more. This is the way they've chosen philosophically to play. You can do that if you're good at it. You know, and obviously when a team like the Lions scores a lot of points, you always think, oh, well, they should have put more pressure on the quarterback. But this is how they've chosen to play. I'm sure this goes all the way back to OTAs and mini camps. This is their philosophy, whether it comes from Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, you know, who knows. But this is the way Nick Sorensen has gone about it this year. They don't blitz very much. They're not, when they do blitz, it's, they do a lot of the same kinds of tactics when they do blitz. So they're really a four-man D-line pass rush team. That's what they are. And then when you do that, you always have seven in coverage. So you feel, and they play more zone than man. So you feel like you can win the numbers game when you have seven to cover five eligibles. And this is the way they've chosen to play. You know, one can debate, and I'm sure they'll have this conversation internally. One can debate whether, hey, do we blitz more going into next year? Is this something that we want to change? You know, that will be a conversation that the coaches will absolutely have.
Greg, I'm curious. There's a lot of statistics, I don't know if you've seen them, that suggest that the 49ers offense, when trailing, and specifically in second halves, they tend to have a hard time moving the ball, and specifically through the air. I mean, it becomes a relatively obvious pass situation, and it's always more difficult to throw the ball when the defense knows the throw is coming. But I'm curious what you see on the tape and schematically from the 49ers offense. When you get in those relatively clear passing situations, is the way the 49ers attack defenses through the air, does it make it more difficult to try to throw for the Niners offense specifically? Because you look at Purdy's numbers, they are very, very bad in fourth quarters when trailing, but that was also the case for Jimmy Garoppolo. Is there something about the Shanahan offense and this specific style that makes it difficult to try to throw from behind?
It's a highly schemed offense, and sometimes when you get into those kinds of situations, you need to be able just to, you know, have guys that can win and have your quarterback make, you know, those kinds of throws versus man-to-man coverage. So, you know, I think that It's partly that. I think that's probably fair, because when they're at their best, what do we see when the Niners offense is at their best? We see a run game that's really effective, that keeps them on schedule. We see a pass game that often works off the run game. We see them being able to work what they do against predictable fronts, predictable coverages. So when you get into those fourth quarter situations or pure pass situations, that gets harder because the defense has the tactical advantage. When it's long yardage or pure pass situations, the defense has the tactical advantage, so your schematics become totally different. So, you know, you have to win with, you know, by being able, in a sense, to be cliched, to make plays, not necessarily by out-scheming. So that's probably fair to some extent.
One of the biggest plays that was made was 3rd and 12 for Detroit, down 13-7. And I want to get this right, and I'm going to take a chance because I've heard it both ways, but they ran the hook and ladder. I think it's a hook and lateral, but it seems like the colloquial has become hook and ladder, Amon-Ra to Williams for the touchdown. Which one is it, Greg? Is it hook and ladder or hook and lateral that they ran?
I mean, that's just a semantic.
I need you.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it. I mean, it's, you know, obviously that's a planned play, a scheme play. You know, Ben Johnson does those kinds of things, you know, I don't want to say regularly. You don't see it every week, but that is certainly part of their arsenal when they feel it's necessary. And I think they felt that the way the game was playing out in the first half, that they were not quite in control of it if they had to punt on that drive. So, you know, they called that, and obviously that's, you know, you're not defending that, so you have no idea that's coming.
Right.
It was just really, really well done. I mean, it was beautifully done. And Williams, you know, Jameson Williams, there's probably three or four guys in the league that have terrifying speed, and he's one of them.
Was it Mark Duper involved in that famous play, Miami-San Diego, that went to overtime, Greg? It's a game that was before my partner Mark Grandy's lifespan, but that, to me, was the first time I ever saw the hook and lateral.
I believe Don Strock was the quarterback.
Look at you. Look at you. Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
And Kellen Winslow with a blocked field goal, I believe, to help force overtime. A man could barely walk.
That, I think, was the Winslow game where he caught so many balls and literally had to be carried off the field, if memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, epic game back in the playoffs in the early 80s. Yeah, you whippersnappers, pull up a chair. let Uncle Greg and I just walk you through it.
I'll have to go hunt down.
Hey,
the
that's
tape.
Okay. I started at Films here in 79, so I remember it.
Man, yeah, I was in middle school there, and I think I recreated it on the blacktop.
Appreciate
the next
that,
day.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, Greg.
I got one more for you, Greg, before we let you get on out of here. I asked you about Hufanga. I want to ask, though, about one of the young Niners defensive backs. You brought up Malik Mustafa at the safety position. I know you've also talked glowingly about Renardo Green. I know you liked his tape coming out of Florida State. He's been kind of thrust into a starting role because of some Niners injuries and absences. Mooney Ward is going to be a free agent as well, and the 49ers have a decision to make there. It seems like he probably won't be coming back because of, you know, just roster construction issues and money and all of that. Renardo Green, his rookie year, now that it's nearly over, what have you seen from the rookie cornerback?
I would say far more positives than negatives. And I think that, see, again, I think this is part of a philosophy that they'll have to discuss in the offseason, because I think, again, this is all based on tape, I think Green's best trait is press man. And this is not a press man team. Now, when I say press man, I don't mean you play at 100% of the snaps, but I think that's his best trait. He came from a school, Florida State, where he started for 2 years. They were a heavy man team and a heavy press man team, and I think he excels at that. So I think you want to give him an opportunity to do that. But I think there's been far more positives than negatives. He's going to be a starter in this league, and he'll start for the Niners next year.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Greg, appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up with you for one last time next week.
All right, sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, thanks. That's Greg Cosell, NFL Films. Does a great job as always, and he joins us every week here on the River Islands Guest Line.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Be a virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.